Hi, and welcome again to the Yes and I Am podcast, the podcast where we learn about people. I'm Aaron Max, and today's episode is super exciting for me. I don't know how much to say about this person other than they basically taught me how to read. I mean, I wasn't a big reader until I encountered this person's books, and this person's stories have affected my lifetime and pop culture as a whole. I'm talking about Miss J.K. Rowling. Thank you for coming out here.
Well, thank you. That was a very nice introduction.
Oh, you know, I always try to, like, get my audience hyped for who I'm about to introduce because, I mean, we've gotten some pretty big names on the podcast, and it's been remarkable. And
but I'm the best, right?
I mean, you are definitely up there. You're actually our first author we've had on the show.
Well, thank you.
I mean, I guess we start at the top. I don't know where we'd go from authors from here. Definitely the richest one out there.
I think so.
Your most recent financial, like, estimate was just under $1 billion. Jeez.
$1 billion, yes.
Yeah, I don't know of any authors of that richness, of lack there of a better term.
I'm sorry. Are you more in love with my wealth than my books?
I'm kind of confused.
You're talking a lot about my
wealth. Well, no.
I have been poor before. I don't know if you know this. I have been very poor.
Yes. You're quoted to being, as you would say, a true rags-to-riches story. It's just remarkable, like... You have...
So how much are you paying me to be on this podcast? Let's talk numbers now, since you keep bringing up money.
I have to say, we don't have any sponsorship yet.
Oh, no! What am I doing here? I have no idea why I'm here.
Well, you're here, so you might as well do the podcast, right?
Okay.
So, you've had, what, 8 movies... 9 movies with the Fantastic Beasts?
Yeah.
And then you're working on a sequel to Fantastic Beasts right now. You're writing the screenplay. Where do you find time to, like, come out to stuff like this and to just be a person?
Well, the thing is when you finally get to my level, everything just kind of... People want to help you so much. Like, I mean, yes, I'm writing these screenplays and I have the final approval, but I don't have to sit down and write. It's everyone else that has to write for me. So you
employ a staff?
Oh yeah. I have tons of people doing everything for me. I've got nannies, I got maids, I got staff, I got, you know, I just basically drink a tequila and approve. Does that make sense?
You know? Yeah, no,
I mean,
that
I'm
sounds
very
amazing.
Involved. I'm
yeah.
very involved, but I mean, I can't just take all the credit for it.
I mean, when a person's a mogul of your status, I'm sure you have a large, like, crew that you work with. How many people do you have working for you daily?
Oh, I don't know. It all depends. How much of a headache I have. That's basically what it is. It depends if I have to be in the studio or not in the studio. You know, I could have up to 5 people to 200 people.
200 people?
I think so, yeah.
That is a large group of people.
I still think that you're very fascinated with how much money I have. I just, like, keep pointing that out. That's like, isn't that a weird thing that you might have to work on for yourself?
I'm sorry. I guess it's been since my recent encounter with our guest Jeff Bezos that I've had this fascination with the wealth of celebrities and stuff, because he kind of set me in that mind point that, like, there's a different type of people. There's rich people, and then there's the rest of us.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I guess our audience likes hearing about how the other side lives.
Okay. That's fair. I am now rich. I was the other people, if the way that you kind of...
Oh, no, of course.
Like to... Not my words, your own words. I was one of the other people. I did live out of my car for a while and, you know, was a single striving woman for a while. It actually sucked a lot. I never want to go back. Never. I'm never going back.
Now, what do you say to people that are in the position that you were in then and are trying to achieve their dreams?
Well, I think everyone knows that the Harry Potter book started while I was in the shower.
Yes.
That's a famous story where I came up with this big thing about, you know, all the characters, Harry Potter, Hogwarts. And
you actually famously wrote them down on napkins. You didn't even, like, write it down
exactly.
on regular paper.
So I sometimes tell people to relax and take a shower. It happened to me. I, you know, kind of just let it flow.
A lot of people have their best thoughts in the shower. I mean, a lot of people have known to sing in the shower. So you think the shower is the place of creative influence?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Have you had any creative showers recently in your life that have sparked new ideas?
I feel like all my ideas come from the shower. Is that too pompous of me to say?
No,
like,
of course
I
not.
I feel anything that you've seen me done since, I've taken, like, just tons of, like, I almost turned my entire mansion into a spa.
Into a spa.
Absolutely. Because I knew what I had gotten before with the Harry Potter books from just a regular shower. So I definitely built upon that. And I turned a whole section of my mansion, like I like to call it the left wing, into a spa.
Into a spa?
Yes.
So how many showers are in this spa? Is there like a hallway of showers that like you use for different purposes?
I would say so, because there's like mood showers, there's, you know, there's lighting, different lightings, standing, sitting, you know, all these different types of things. It's almost like a fantasy world.
Yeah, I mean, are any of the showers influenced by the wizarding world of Harry Potter?
Yes. If you see in my books, they get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yes.
Each time I wrote more.
Of course.
And more.
I mean, the last...
Because I was accumulating more money, and I was getting a bigger and bigger and bigger shower. So the bigger the shower, the bigger the ideas.
So you're saying your last book, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, you have the biggest shower to write the biggest novel?
Oh my goodness, yes. I hope I'm painting the correct picture.
I mean, this
I
sounds
can't
fantastical.
I can't bring you physically into my house, but like I should maybe just, you know, write a book about how many showers I have that, you know.
This brings up another situation. You have lived quite an interesting life.
Yes.
Do you think your life warrants a biopic done of you? And if you were to have a biopic done of you, who would you like to play you?
Why would it not? Like, I feel it's only a matter of time before someone does. I mean, I feel like people have already done a lifetime story about me, like a Hallmark story about me. Like, not using me, but using the basis of...
The idea of me.
So it's only a matter of time. Of course people are going to... But I would say, I haven't really thought about it because, you know, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I want to ever to play me to be really young and really beautiful.
Really young and beautiful. Now, how long down the road do you see this project coming out? Because, I mean, you got movies coming out of everywhere. Do you think it would be, like, after you're done working, or do you think it's going to come out during your lifetime?
Oh, well, I hope during my lifetime so I could get some royalties out of it.
Oh, so you think you can, like, capitalize on this as well?
Yes. Why would I not? You know, they have movies about Britney Spears, and she's still alive. I want to definitely have a movie about myself, and I'm gonna cash it in. I'm kind of like the Kris Jenner.
Okay.
Like, you know how she kind of has paparazzi people? She pays for the paparazzi, and they give her a cut. You know that?
I did not know that.
Yes, it's like this whole thing. She's a very smart marketing woman.
Now do
I'm
you,
a smart marketing
Do you
woman.
Have paparazzi following you?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, the London, you know.
Because you are quite the public figure. I mean, lots of people want to know what you're up to.
Worldly figure.
Worldly.
Worldly. You know, me in France is just... It's crazy out there.
You mentioned worldly. What is your favorite place in the world to visit?
Oh my God. I've just been to so many places.
And how have these places inspired your novels?
Wow. I don't know if they are places. Definitely. You know what? When I went to Canada, to the Niagara Falls...
Yeah?
I felt so inspired, and I think it was because of the showers. Like, the Niagara Falls.
Okay.
Hanging with the showers.
No, okay.
Does that make
sense? No, it makes perfect sense. Have you visited other waterfalls around the world? I mean, do you feel like the movement of water is something very influential on your writing?
I suppose so, you know. I suppose so.
Is this something that would need to be featured in your life story?
Yes. Now, are you proposing to write it for me?
I mean...
I feel like I have a proposal coming.
I mean, I would love to write the J.K. Rowling true life story because it sounds like you live quite a fascinating life. Although you do keep it kind of private from the public. You don't put yourself out there too much, so I'm sure there's a lot we still have to learn.
But I will do podcasts when no one's paying me for them.
I apologize that maybe in the future we'll have a large enough audience and we'll get... some sponsorship. I mean, maybe there'll be a book that we'll need to promote on here.
Absolutely. But I'm sure after having me on here.
Yeah, no, it's going to skyrocket.
You're going to get follower after I mean, I will definitely tweet about this, about your podcast, and to come hear me on it. You know?
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Tweet and Facebook and
yeah, you have quite a few followers on all social media.
Absolutely.
How do you find time to do all that?
Like I said, I have a team. I have a social media team.
Makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. I can't deny. I mean, as much as I would love to be a wizard, you know, go to, you know, be in
now does your team follow you into the shower?
I would love that to happen. You know what? Good idea, but they haven't yet.
Okay.
They haven't yet. I take all those ideas for myself. Now, when I come out of the shower, I kind of just like, I will record myself shouting, or if someone's there, I'll say, grab me a pen, grab me some paper, take my notes, you know, but yeah, they're not physically in the shower with me.
Now, are you afraid that you can't trust everyone on your team? Because that's a lot of people to manage, and I'm sure you have a lot of secrets, you know, and a lot of stuff you don't want released before you want it released.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep that under wraps?
Easy. I have money, and money creates power, and power creates fear. So if anyone crosses me, it's like off with the heads.
Wow. So, I mean...
Not really, but you know what I mean.
I was about to say that
but
is...
But people don't dare cross me, and I do keep, you know, a very, very close check on everyone.
Okay. Do you have a team that is specially tasked with keeping track of the rest of your team?
Yes. Yes, I do. I feel like I shouldn't be telling you this, but I'm kind of in with the FBI, the CIA. Like,
oh, the American intelligence community?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Every kind of part. There's different layers. You know, you start with a team, and then you have the team to watch the team, and the team to watch the team, and then someone needs a favor, and then you need a favor back. And then all of a sudden, a lot of people are on your side. So I do have the law enforcement that I need, you know, here in the UK. Mm-hmm.
It makes me wonder how much you've contributed to the American economy alone, not to even think about the British economy. Because your movies, your books have made so much money for publishers and production studios that maybe something like the U.S. intelligence community would have to look out for you, other than like even some politicians, mm-hmm. because you have such an influence.
Yes, I don't know how to answer that.
There's some people who put on their census that they are wizards because of Harry Potter.
They do?
Yes, that you are an official religion of the United States of America.
I'm a religion.
Oh, yeah, well, you're Wizarding World. Some people, you know, they get tattoos of the houses they've gotten off your website, Pottermore. I don't know if you realize how big you are.
Is it an actual religion? Like, I say I haven't pushed the envelope enough unless I have an actual religion following.
Wait, so you're planning on writing an actual doctrine?
I should. You know what? You have great ideas. I think you should join my staff.
I would be more than excited, but I'm so busy with this podcast that I'm hoping that this catches on, you know, so I can pay my guests, you know. But also, you know, I feel like I'm providing a service for my listeners, because normally they wouldn't get a look into your life like this.
Can we go back to the religion?
Yes, of course.
So you're telling me there are people out there that would make me a religion.
Yes, they would make
J.K. Rowling a religion.
Yeah, J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter. Wait, are you looking to like get into this?
If you think about it, if I can become a religion for myself, I don't have to pay any taxes.
That is true. I know the whole Church of Scientology is based on that premise that they are a church, so they do not pay taxes, even though they were also created by a science fiction fantasy author.
Oh my goodness, it's like they beat me to the punch.
I mean, yeah, that was a while ago, but they still exist, you know?
Yeah, I'm aware.
There's a bunch of people who wrote on their census that they identify as the religion of Jedi Knights. So George Lucas, I'm sure, is on that train as well. Also former podcast guest.
Yes, but he did sell to Disney, right?
Yeah,
he sold everything to Disney.
So now Disney would have the rights.
Yes, like
to
I don't want to.
So now Disney could essentially start their own religion.
Yes.
Of course.
So, but I would still have control.
Yeah, you have yet to sell creative control of any of your properties, which is unheard of in today's writing community, where a lot of people just option off all their work to major studios. I know you have a partnership with Warner Brothers, but they still let you write the screenplays.
Of course.
You say of course, but there's so many authors that don't get to write their own work, and a lot of the translation to film isn't as well respected as some of your movies.
It's because I know how to do movies.
Where did you learn how to do movies? Because you were purely a fiction writer before Harry Potter, you know? You didn't have a film background.
I just always say I think my movies turned out better because I had a hand in them. Because I had love that went into it. Because, you know, you have the Spider-Man and the Superman, and some of them are great, but... but the writer, the comic book person, isn't involved with it, you know? And it's just like, it's just a production. It's just a paycheck. For me, I have the final approval. I say yes. I say no. I say yes to the casting. I am like the ultimate force when it comes to my movies because it's me. People are expecting me to create it. So, I feel like that's why my leap from the pages to film have gone so well.
One thing that you just mentioned there, you have a say in casting. Now, when you were casting the original Harry Potter movies,
yes,
you did not let any Americans into the cast. Mm-hmm. It was a strict rule that only British actors could be in the cast.
No Americans.
With your most recent film...
Don't you think they already have enough, like the Americans, the box office is always... they always do better. Like, if you think about it, American movies will go all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
They, like, everyone knows American movies.
Yes.
You know, I wanted something for the Brits, for London.
Of course. I mean, Harry Potter is probably one of the most successful British franchises. But in your most recent film in that universe, Fantastic Beasts, Where to Find Them, you moved the world of Harry Potter to the United States. Now, what was your reasoning for that?
I started having an affair with someone.
Really?
So I shouldn't really say that. I have a very private life and now it's coming out. I wouldn't say like a physical affair, just a love. Like I started falling in love with the United States a little bit more. I started doing more book tours. I started, you know, seeing the country a little bit more, and then I started seeing that I was a little bit close-minded. So I kind of had more of an affair with the United States and falling in love with it. And then, I decided, you know what, we're all in this world together. We are all one, and there shouldn't be differences. So I said, you know what, whatever, let's film in there. And the taxes were a little bit cheaper.
So it's expensive to film over in England?
A little bit, yeah.
That makes sense. So... before I let you go, before I move on to our next section, I have one question. You write under another name as well.
Mm-hmm.
You have a pseudonym, Robert Gilbraith, that you write your spy thriller novels under. Why do you have a pen name and it's a man's name? And it just sparked so many questions. I feel like I needed to address this before the end of this podcast.
Ooh. First of all, why not? You know, I became such an amazing, well-known writer that it makes you wonder, do people just like me now because they fell in love with the Harry Potter books? Mm-hmm. That they're not going to really... they'll just like whatever else I write again. Like Picasso. Like, it used to be this very controversial thing where he would just all of a sudden draw something on a napkin and leave, and that would be, like, the tip. Or something, and then people were taking what he drew on a napkin and just loving it and saying that was art. But now, if I write under another name, I have a whole other fan base that respects me, that doesn't know that it's me. But now that as time has passed, they do know that
it's come out.
Me.
Yeah,
I know. But I will say that I got 100,000 followers before they knew it was me. Those people were the real fans. Those people are the really fans of, you know, I just need to find out who really likes me for me.
It's hard. I mean, when you've achieved so much fame.
And I've almost figured it out. It's about 375,000 and maybe one more. But I've really figured out, and I do this. I write under other names, and I, like, see who actually likes the articles and who likes me. And not just because I'm J.K. Rowling.
So even at your level of celebrity, you do have insecurities about who likes you for you.
Of course. I think it came from my divorce. You know, I was a single mom, you know, and I, the love of my life left me. And all of a sudden, I'm living out of crap, out of my car. I had nothing going for me. And then all of a sudden, it's like, who really likes me? Who likes me? So, yes, of course, insecurities still come up, even though I'm very rich and very successful now. And my ex-husband can go, like, you know, whatever he wants to with that barking whore of his. I don't care.
Sounds like you do. But do you feel like starting a religion is the right path if you really want to find out who likes you?
Who? I was wondering where this question was going, but yes. But, I mean, why not? If they're already forming it.
Is the religion going to be under J.K. Rowling?
Well, yes.
Okay.
But now that you think about it, I should do a separate religion under another name with the same exact values and see who follows it.
That is...
And then that's another way I can find out who really likes me and my ideas.
That is not a bad idea. I feel like you're onto something there. All right. Now, if you don't mind, we're going to move into a few speed round questions.
Ooh, yes.
Have you ever played the game Fuck, Marry, Kill?
Fuck me, marry me, or kill you.
No. It is, basically, I'm going to give you a list of three names.
Yes.
And you put them one into each of those categories.
Yeah. Fuck me, marry me, or kill you.
Yeah, that yet again, the names I'm going to give you are, the first name is E.L. James, writer of the 50 Shades of Grey novels.
Mm-hmm.
Second name, Stephanie Meyer, writer of the Twilight Saga.
Mm-hmm.
Third name, Susan Collins, writer of the Hunger Games novels.
Okay, kill 50 Shades.
Okay.
She doesn't even have good grammar. And who are the other two people?
Stephanie Meyer from Twilight and Susan Collins from Hunger Games.
Hunger Games. Well, yeah. I did like, what's her name, who ended up playing the lead in the movie?
Which movie?
In the Hunger Games, sorry.
That is Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes, she's hot. So yeah. I would say marry her.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the next one? Fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck vampire?
Yeah, that leaves.
Vampire Slayer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess fuck her, because like, she's one of those things where you just need to have a little roll around in the dirt and mm-hmm. then get rid of her. Get rid of her.
Okay.
That's how I look at her books. You do a little roll around and then you get away from it. Get away.
All right, so that moves us on to our last section, which is word association. Basically, I'm going to say a word and you tell me the first thing that comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
First word, pen.
Pen? That was the... And now what I have to do?
Say the first thing that comes to mind when I say that word.
Oh. Does it have to be brilliant? Should I get in the shower?
No. Just as fast as you can, you know.
Sorry.
Speed round.
Okay, so do you want to...
Pen.
Pen. Pencil.
Paper.
Ink.
Magic.
Gods.
Politics.
Stupid.
Time.
Lovely.
Movies.
Movies?
Movies.
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 Cows.
Wand.
Wand. Harry.
Writing.
Writing. Brilliant.
Religion.
Me.
All right. Well, that's about all the time we have today. Thank you, JK, for coming in again. It has been remarkable. Do you have anything to say to our fans before you go?
No, thank you for following me, and sooner or later I will find out who are the real fans, and that's going to be so exciting once I find out who really loves me from me.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening again, and we will see you all next time. Thank you again for listening to the Yes and I Am podcast. This podcast has been completely improvised, so instead of having the real J.K. Rowling here, it has been my buddy Amy Lizka.
Hi. Hi, how's it going?
It's going great. Thank you for coming out here again. It's been really fun having you. I didn't know if you were going to be able to do the British accent, but you...
I don't know if I did it correctly ever either.
It was convincing to me.
But can I just say, I didn't know if it was Rowling or Rowling. I thought it was always Rowling, J.K. Rowling. The entire time.
If I mispronounce it, I'm sorry, JK, if you're listening. And if you're listening, please actually retweet out the show. It would help a lot.
Yeah.
So
thanks for having me on.
No,
this.
Definitely. Do you have anything coming up?
So actually in October, I mean, I do a lot of stand up all the time, mm-hmm. and I have an improv group called CIT, Commitment Issues Temporarily, and we always do stuff all the time. I especially
Where do you guys typically perform?
Well, that anywhere right now we're at the Players Theater doing a lot of stuff, but with my stand-up I do a lot of stuff at QED. I run a mic all the time called the Golden Monkey Mic on Thursdays, and but the main thing coming up that I have is I do a Hooray for Boobies with Jenny Sandalia.
Oh.
And it is a sponsorship, like a fundraiser, mm-hmm. In October.
So breast cancer awareness.
Yeah, breast cancer awareness. And we get a lot of stand-ups to donate a set, a lot of great stand-ups, and we do a lot of raffles. It's a lot of good time, and that's going to be actually October 19th at the Stand. So we usually do a lot of fundraising. It's a good time. It's me, Jenny. I mean, last year, we get a lot of great people. Like, Christian Finnegan was on it last year.
Oh, cool.
Pat Brown was on it. I mean, we get a lot of, like, heavy hitters, too, and... Not that we're not heavy hitters.
No, but it sounds like you get a lot of people that would attract some crowds.
Yeah, so that's like the main thing that I'm now focusing on. But because it, you know, we need to get a lot of people coming. So come October 19th, if you can, Thursday at the Stand.
And is there anywhere our listeners can find details about your upcoming shows and stuff?
Yeah, amyliska.com. That's AMYLIS as in Sam, Z as in Zebra, KA.com. You can tweet me. I mean, not many people have my name, Amy Liska, so if you just
search,
yeah. I have a like page, always looking for a like.
I dig it. All right. Thank you again, Amy, for heading out here. Our theme music is done by the artist Regulus. It's his song, Yarning. You can find him on SoundCloud. Also, if you're enjoying this podcast, please head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review, write something nice. It helps the podcast with visibility and helps more people find the show. Thank you again for listening, and we will see you all next time.